more than half of my life. My children were born here, and so it was super traumatic. It's still traumatic for me to talk about it, and I'm going to speak.
This is John Cargo from the town of Caro, New York. I'm the president of the Caro Historical Society, and you're listening to WGXC Acura, 90.7 FM, hands-on radio.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of Governor Andrew Cuomo and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program administered by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T-Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXE sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Fridman Gallery in New York, New York. WGXE's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXE as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
George Floyd, Carol Horn, and the duty to intervene. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. As dusk settled over the Minneapolis intersection of 38th and Chicago last Memorial Day, police officer Derek Chauvin pressed his knee into George Floyd's neck. Handcuffed and gasping for air, Floyd addressed the officer as "Sir." "I can't breathe," Floyd said more than 20 times. "Mama, I love you," he cried. Moments later, he died. Chauvin kept his knee in place for 3 more minutes, time during which George Floyd might have been resuscitated. Chauvin's knee was on Floyd's neck for 9 minutes and 29 seconds, all it took to snuff out George Floyd's life of 46 years. The 12 jurors unanimously found Derek Chauvin guilty of second-degree murder, third-degree murder, and manslaughter. It was the first time in Minnesota history that a white police officer had been convicted for killing an African American. George Floyd might be alive today if any of the other 3 officers on the scene had intervened. Those 3, Alexander King, Thomas Lane, and Totao, will soon face trials of their own for aiding and abetting Chauvin in the murder of George Floyd. George Floyd's case was referenced in a recent New York State Supreme Court decision. Quoting the words of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., "The time is always right to do right," New York State Supreme Court Judge Dennis Ward wrote in his order overturning the 2008 firing of Buffalo police officer Carol Horn. In 2006, Carol Horn, an African-American police officer in Buffalo, New York, responded to a call to assist another officer at an arrest in progress. What happened next turned her life upside down.
I went to the home of Neil Mack at 707 Walden Avenue.
That's Carol Horn speaking on the Democracy Now! NewsHour this week. She saw an African-American man being brutalized by another officer.
And when I went inside of the house, that's when Neil Mack was handcuffed and being punched in the face. So once we got Neil Mack out of the house and went outside, that is when Gregory Kwiatkowski started choking him. And that's when I released the chokehold, and then he punched me in the face. So then I went to the station house, reported it to the chief, and then an internal investigation started, and I became the target.
After Officer Horn grabbed Kwiatkowski's arm to stop him from choking Mack, Officer Kwiatkowski punched Horn so hard that she needed reconstructive surgery. Despite that, after an internal investigation, it was Horn who was fired, not Kwiatkowski. She was just months away from being eligible for her full pension. The job loss as a mother of five, just as the global economic crisis hit, was catastrophic. She ended up homeless, living out of her car. Neil Mack credits Carol Horn with saving his life. Years later, Kwiatkowski went to prison for beating four handcuffed teenagers. Horn organized a campaign to pass Carol's law in Buffalo, New York. The law codifies the duty to intervene for police officers, whether on or off duty, when they see another officer using unreasonable force against a civilian. It also protects those officers who intervene from retaliation. As the protests sparked by George Floyd's death swept the globe, the Buffalo City Council passed Carol's law, and the mayor signed it into law. The Buffalo law also allowed officers who previously suffered retaliation to seek redress, which Carol Horn did. She sued and won. Judge Dennis Ward's order restored her pension with back pay. Referring to George Floyd, Ward wrote, "One of the issues in all of these cases is the role of other officers at the scene, and particularly their complicity in failing to intervene to save the life of a person to whom such unreasonable physical force is being applied." Judge Ward wrote in the order, "To her credit, Officer Horn did not merely stand by, but instead sought to intervene despite the penalty she ultimately paid for doing so." The judge added, "While the Eric Garners and George Floyds of the world never had a chance for a do-over, at least here the correction can be done," he said. The pace of police killings in the U.S., averaging about three per day, has not slowed since the protests erupted after George Floyd's death. Carol Horn is pushing for Carol's law to be passed in cities and states across the country as Congress debates the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act of 2020. Which would ban chokeholds and establish a duty to intervene for federal police, among other things. Derek Chauvin is going to prison for George Floyd's murder, largely due to the actions and testimony of passersby, from a 9-year-old girl to the teenager who recorded the crime. Let their courage inspire the national adoption of the duty of police to intervene, rather than aiding and abetting police brutality. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
You know, I was listening to the radio, and I heard this thing.
90.7 FM, listener-aided and abetted radio.
Welcome to Clubhouse Radio, live from the Cascadia Clubhouse on 90.7 FM WGXC, broadcasting Acra, Catskill, Hudson. That song was Ooh Child by the Five Stair Steppers. Five Stair Steps, my bad. Stay tuned for great music and discussion, and we will kick off our show after the local news and weather.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Philip Pantuso reports for the River Newsroom about how the new law legalizing marijuana in New York will help small farmers. First State Senator Michelle Henchy, a Democrat from Socrates, helped get a provision allowing hemp flower to be sold in retail stores, which was not included in earlier versions of the legislation. Farmers don't need to create fancy processing structures for flower production. Henchy says, and I quote, "I'm a freshman senator, and I was still able to come in and be at the table with these points that we recognize needed to be changed, both as it pertains to the language around small farmers and the agricultural community, and recognizing that this provision was not in it," end quote. She added, and I quote, "They wanted to make the best bill possible," end quote. Farmers are also eligible to get help getting a license from the new Cannabis Control Board. They have a social equity plan with the goal of issuing 50% of licenses to social equity applicants, including those harmed by the war on drugs, low-income folks, minority and women-owned businesses, disabled veterans, and I quote, distressed farmers, end quote. That is, a farmer who has suffered from low commodity prices, loss of land, and or operating losses, and works a small farm as defined by the Department of Agriculture. Donna Burns, president of the board of the New York Small Farms, says that, and I quote, "opens the door for more people to become cannabis farmers in not only in the Hudson Valley, but throughout the state, because the definition has expanded to include members of groups that have been historically underrepresented in farm ownership." And she claims an earlier version of the law, and I quote, "would have been actually detrimental to our small farmers," end quote. The new law also includes a small-scale production microbusiness license with a lower cap on how much cannabis can be grown, but allows farmers to sell their products on-site like the farm brewery and the farm winery licenses. Jason Menard, in-house counsel for Hemp Fair State Growers, said, and I quote, "that's something you can set up. Say, as a farmer who is doing tomatoes, you have an extra greenhouse and you want to take a shot at cannabis," end quote. He added, and I quote, "it's going to create a more level playing field. The state is going to see a lot of microbusiness applications," end quote. There is much more about the state's new marijuana law to read about in the River Newsroom. Joseph Spector reports for the Poughkeepsie Journal that as the COVID-19 numbers improve around the state, Governor Andrew Cuomo sees fewer reporters. During the worst of the coronavirus pandemic, Cuomo won an Emmy for meeting with reporters in person every day and answering many questions in televised media briefings. Now, though, vaccines are easy to get and the number of hospitalizations keep falling, and Cuomo is seeing fewer reporters. The governor, however, is not camera shy as he continues to hold events for announcements made for TV in very large venues with numerous elected officials and local leaders in attendance. But no press is allowed because of COVID-19 restrictions, his administration officials claim. Instead, Cuomo occasionally answers the many questions about his marriage scandals in Zoom and phone conference calls where his aides choose friendly reporters to ask questions. Blair Horner, legislative director for the New York Public Interest Research Group, said, and I quote, "every public official, including the governor, should subject themselves to questions from the media because that's the public surrogate," end quote. She added, and I quote, "the media is there to ask the questions that the public wants to have asked and wants to know the answers to," end quote. But the governor has just one answer for reporters on this subject. Cuomo said April 20th, and I quote, "when will reporters be back in the room? That is purely a function of the COVID safety requirements," end quote. There is more to read about this story in the Poughkeepsie Journal. Aaliyah Schneider is reporting for Columbia Green Media. More than 30 short-term rentals in Hudson have been found to be unregistered and not paying lodge tax, according to the city treasurer's office. The unregistered properties were identified by the Short-Term Rental Tax Administrative Service company, Azaba Audit Solutions Incorporated, according to Treasurer Heather Campbell and Assistant Treasurer Matthew Parker. Campbell declined to reveal the specific properties on the list, saying she is unsure if that list can be made public at this time. The Hudson Common Council last year approved a local law regulating short-term rentals and restricting the owners eligible to host them. Campbell said the Azabar software is aware of the new short-term rental law and that it is safe to assume it was taken into consideration when tallying the 31 unregistered properties. Campbell declined to say how much revenue the newly found short-term rentals could bring to the city in lodging tax or if retroactive fees will be charged. She said in a statement April 22nd, and I quote, "I cannot provide financial guidance as to the impact at this time and probably will not be able to do so for some time," end quote. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Marshall Cohen is reporting for CNN Politics. A New York man has been charged by the Justice Department after he was turned in by someone he matched with on the dating app Bumble because he bragged about his exploits on January 6. According to court documents, 1 week after the attack, Robert Chapman of Carmel, Putnam County, told one of his Bumblebee matches that, and I quote, "I did storm the Capitol," end quote, and said that he, and I quote, "made it all the way into Statuary Hall," end quote. He also claimed that he was interviewed by members of the media. The other Bumble user replied, and I quote, "We are not a match," end quote. Investigators said they corroborated Chapman's claims by comparing his Bumble profile picture to body camera footage from police officers inside the Capitol that day. Chapman was arrested April 22nd and charged with four misdemeanors, including disorderly conduct on Capitol grounds. He has not yet entered a plea. More than 390 people have been charged so far with federal crimes in connection with the attack. And you can read the full story at can.com. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. For local weather reports, town meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, April 23rd. Early this morning, it is 29 degrees in Mackey and 34 in New Forge. No rain or snow today, but wind gusts get up to 25 miles per hour this afternoon. Temperatures reach 60 degrees at about 4 p.m. Overnight, we get back down into the upper 30s. Tomorrow, a light breeze, high of 70. No precipitation is expected, so get outside and play. Then on Sunday, the rain starts early and tapers off in the afternoon. A high of 60 is expected. It is still officially too early to move plants outside, but for those really itching to do it, you get a shot at the end of next week, when overnight lows get into the 50s. They will still need to be covered for at least a week or so. Pollen levels for today and tomorrow will be high. Birch, oak, and ash, the prevailing influencers. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 12:20 a.m., low tide at 6:54 a.m., high tide again at 12:25 p.m. and low tide again at 7:29 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 53 degrees. Sunset today will be at 7:30 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:59 a.m. Looking way up, we see a coronal mass ejection was released yesterday and is expected to cause G2 class magnetic storms on Sunday. Solar wind speed is currently 398.2 kilometers per second at 5.9 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 42. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Hilo Catskill. cafe, bar, art gallery, and performance space located at 365 Main Street, Catskill, New York. Wayfarm's WGXC is pleased to broadcast live from Hilo every Tuesday morning starting at 9 a.m. In addition, Hilo live events are streamed and broadcast in conjunction with the Wayfarm Radio Transmit Partner Program.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Melissa Alfdermar and Tony Stone of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Here's what we do with the clubhouse. It be fun at the clubhouse. Music stay loud at the clubhouse. Staff be cool at the clubhouse. Not just mind us your house. Music program at the clubhouse. Got a drum set at the clubhouse. Got a piano at the clubhouse. Make your own beats at the clubhouse. Get on the radio at the clubhouse. Share your voice at the clubhouse. Express yourself at the clubhouse. Tracks program at the clubhouse. Be yourself at the clubhouse. No judgment at the clubhouse. No drama at the clubhouse. We accept you at the clubhouse. Got field trips at the clubhouse. Got art supplies at the clubhouse. Creativity at the clubhouse. Paint your own wall at the clubhouse. Got a TV at the clubhouse. Got Wi-Fi at the clubhouse. Food and snacks at the clubhouse. Hope to see you at the clubhouse.
You're just listening to an original Clubhouse theme song made in our track music program by DJ WIC. Welcome back to Clubhouse Radio. All views expressed on Clubhouse Radio are our truth and may not represent the views and opinions of Clubhouse's parent organization or the Mental Health Association of Columbia Green. I'm your host, DJ Ricky. I'm here with
DJ Popcorn.
And DJ. Yeah. And we're going to get right into it. So today we're going to be talking about, I'm sure a lot of people have heard about the George Floyd, Derek Chauvin, right?
Yeah.
His little case and stuff.
The trial.
Yeah.
So you guys are just going to be hearing a quick little thing about how George Floyd's family reacted to Derek Chauvin being convicted. And, yeah, let's get right to it.
We, the jury, in the above entitled manner as to count one, unintentional second degree murder while committing a felony, find the defendant guilty. Signed, juror foreperson, juror number 19. Same caption, verdict count two. We, the jury, in the above entitled manner as to count two. Third degree murder, perpetrating an eminently dangerous act, find the defendant guilty.
Come on, man.
Signed by jury foreperson, juror number 19. Same caption, verdict count three. We determine the above entitled matter as to count three. Second degree manslaughter, culpable negligence, creating an unreasonable risk, find the defendant guilty.
Woo!
action video of his family. You know, they was all hype, especially his mom, sisters, and all them. So I feel like personally, do you think it was I know
the right decision.
No, I know it was the right decision.
Yeah, definitely. Right decision,
but like, do you feel like it was more off of bias, like opinions off on the thing, or do you think it was a fair case? Either way, he deserves to be locked up, but
definitely was a fair case. I mean, the jury, I mean, they know what they're doing. Obviously, we all know what happened, and so, you know, I feel like the conviction was right, and he was rightfully charged with everything that he did get charged with. So, yeah.
Facts. How you feel, AJ?
I don't know. I think that this whole thing has just been ridiculous. I should have never even happened in the first place.
Facts.
Definitely.
So what we got?
We got
this. What's it called?
So it's this video.
Mm-hmm.
And it is talking a little bit about how Florida is adopting the nation's toughest restrictions on protesting. So we're going to listen to this. It's a little clip. It's only 3 minutes. Listen and enjoy, and we'll be right back.
Is awaiting a verdict in the Derek Chauvin murder trial and potential protests. One Republican governor has passed a new law to crack down on protesters. Florida's Ron DeSantis calls it the strongest anti-rioting pro-law enforcement legislation in the country.
The law was first proposed by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis in September, a response to the protests around the country that followed the death of George Floyd at the hands of police. Florida had protests, but little of the violence seen in Portland, Minneapolis, and other cities. Even so, DeSantis said tougher laws were needed in Florida to make sure those kind of protests don't happen here.
If you riot, if you loot, if you harm others, particularly if you harm a law enforcement officer during one of these violent assemblies, you're going to jail.
The law increases penalties for protesters who block roadways or deface public monuments. It creates a new crime, mob intimidation. It requires that anyone arrested at a protest be denied bail until their first court appearance, likely making for overnight jail stays. And it makes local officials liable to lawsuits from injured parties if they're found to have not done enough to respond to control violent protests.
If you're derelict in your duty as a local government, if you tell law enforcement to stand down, then you're responsible for the damage that ensues. And if someone's been harmed or their property has been destroyed, then they can sue you for compensation.
The new law also responds to the defund police movement, allowing officials to appeal any decision to reduce funding for law enforcement. DeSantis' proposals passed easily in Florida's Republican-controlled legislature. Democrats uniformly opposed it, calling it a political play aimed at the Republican base. Committing violence and property damage at protests is already illegal, they point out. Other provisions of the law, Democratic Representative Michelle Rayner said, are vague and likely unconstitutional.
The bill talks about if three or more people are gathered together. So right now, this would be a mob. We would be arrested. So it's cute to say it's peaceful protest. But once again, the question becomes, who's determining what's peaceful or not?
More than two dozen Republican legislators and law enforcement officials joined DeSantis yesterday at the bill signing, all of them white. Whether intentional or not, the optics made clear where DeSantis is positioning himself. He's running for re-election as Florida governor next year and is in the mix as a possible Republican presidential nominee in 2024. Democratic State Senator Chevron Jones said the fight over Florida's new protest law isn't over.
If the Jim Crow era didn't teach us one thing, it taught us that this is a long game. And it's going to require bold souls. And that's why I'm happy to stand with my colleagues today and to let Governor DeSantis know that you have just declared war on the First Amendment.
Jones, other Democrats, and civil liberties groups say they believe the law violates constitutional protections of freedom of assembly and that it will be challenged in court. Greg Allen, NPR News.
There's nothing like baseball on a spring day. The smell of the grass, the Cracker Jacks, and your crumpled vaccine.
So, we are back, and we're about to get into a quick song break. Charles Bradley, Why Is It So Hard? And we will be right back.
You guys are beautiful. You're all my brothers and sisters. I mean it, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
filled with love. It takes love and understanding to live and let live. I was born in Gainesville, Florida. I traveled far and wide. Then I moved to Brooklyn, New York.
That was Why Is It So Hard by Charles Bradley. So we have this little thing on, what you call?
On some of the people who were victims of police brutality.
Yes.
So we have Dante Wright. We're going to give you guys a quick summary. So what he was, so it was this year in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Obviously, very much so not good luck for what was happening, because of the trial for George Floyd was soon to happen after this. And he was killed when Wright was stopped by officers for a traffic violation. Police tried to detain him for an outstanding warrant. Brooklyn Center Police Officer Kim Potter shot him as he was trying to get back into his car. The police chief says it was an accident, that Potter mistook her gun for a taser. Action taken. Police Chief Tim Gannon and his police officer, Kim Potter, both resigned. Potter has been charged with second-degree manslaughter. So, you guys have any more to add?
I kind of do.
Okay, go ahead.
I think it's weird. I think this is more just something I seen on Facebook, but there was, like, a thing where, like, there was all these people that were in, like, they were police brutality victims. And the one girl had, like, a phone or something. And the police was like, oh, she's got a gun. And then the other person had, like, something else. And they were like, oh, it's a gun, it's a gun, it's a gun.
But this lady reached for her gun, thinking it was a taser, but they know guns.
I saw that.
You know what I mean?
I saw that.
Okay, so next, Rayshard Brooks. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing his name.
Rayshard.
Yeah. So, he was killed in Atlanta, Georgia. The year was 2020. He fell asleep in his car, blocking the drive-thru lane at a fast food restaurant. How he was killed. Police officer body cameras showed former officers Garrett Rolfe and Devin Brosnan speaking to Brooks for more than 40 minutes after complaints that the 27-year-old black man had fallen asleep in his car. The officers had told Brooks he had too much to drink to drive and attempted to restrain him. A struggle ensued and Brooks fled. He was shot twice in the back according to the autopsy. Actions taken. Rolfe was fired. He faces 11 charges, including felony murder. Brosnan faces a number of charges, including aggravated assault. So, you guys know about that one?
Nope. Yeah, I haven't heard about that one.
Okay. Never. Well, not never.
So this one, Daniel Prude. This one happened in 2020. He had run onto a street naked while experiencing a mental health episode. And this happened in Rochester, New York. Prude was initially compliant when emergency services found him at 3 a.m. Though he became agitated, police placed a spit hood on his head. Officer Mark Vaughn used his body weight to force Prude's head against the pavement as others tried to restrain him.
Hold on. You say he was naked?
Yeah, like he ran onto the street naked while he was experiencing a mental health episode.
I actually seen this one, and have you guys seen the video?
I don't think I would really want to.
No, they don't. They obviously don't show him naked or anything because it was on public TV.
Okay,
but
so it's probably blurred, right?
Yeah, but when the cops are trying to like get a hold of him, and you could just see like they were putting so much force into this man, and he wasn't really a threat to anybody. He didn't have no weapons or anything. He was a threat, but, like, I don't know. I don't think he was a threat in any way. I think they could have stopped that a lot easier than what they did.
Yeah. So, those were a few names from, you know, Know Their Names.
Republic Radio's
from
Emily
a website, Russell. And we have something to just to play quick
police,
for you
police
guys.
Department.
And it's about how deadline looms for New York State Police to address systematic racism. Let's get into it.
Departments in New York State have until April 1st to make reforms that address systemic racism. The mandate came after George Floyd was killed by police in Minneapolis last May. In small cities and towns upstate, the process has revealed deep divisions in the way people think about racial bias and policing. North Country Public Radio's Emily Russell reports.
For months after the killing of George Floyd, people around the country flooded the streets. They held signs that read, "I can't breathe," and "Black Lives Matter."
No justice! No peace! George Floyd!
There were big rallies in cities and towns across New York, like this one in Plattsburgh. In June, Governor Andrew Cuomo unveiled a new mandate. Every law enforcement agency in New York had to make reforms aimed specifically at reducing racial bias.
We're not going to fund police agencies in this state that do not look at what has been happening, come to terms with it, and reform themselves.
Agencies are required to meet with the public to work on these reforms. The Sheriff's Department in Franklin County along the Canadian border held a public meeting last month. People asked about the use of chokeholds, about the need for body cameras. One woman, Colleen Farmer, asked about racism.
What specific systemic racism has been found within your department at this point?
There was a long pause before Undersheriff Terrence White answered.
Systemic racism? None.
His boss, Sheriff Kevin Mulverhill, then stepped in.
I don't see where systemic racism is mentioned at all in the governor's executive order.
The governor's order does, in fact, mention racism multiple times. It specifically mentions systemic racial bias. Henry Smart says this back and forth at Franklin County's meeting does not surprise him. Smart is a professor at New York's John Jay College of Criminal Justice.
Of course, your defensive answer immediately is like, no,
I'm not racist. And you could very well not be an actively hating on a group, a total group. But we're all participating in systemic racism. We're all doing it.
Smart says one of the problems with the state's mandate is that it doesn't require someone at these meetings who is trained to guide discussions on systemic racism.
If we want to have these dialogues, we have to define what these concepts are for folks and explain it in a way that doesn't single them out or ostracize them in the way that these behaviors have done to marginalized groups in this country.
Nikki Hilton Patterson was at Franklin County's meeting. She's a Black woman who heads the Adirondack Diversity Initiative. Hilton Patterson stepped in and tried to explain that there are different kinds of racism.
The problem with talking about race and understanding race and racism is that we hyper-focus on individual acts. Structural racism is a totally different beast.
It's why Black people earn a third less than white people. It's why Black men are six times more likely to end up in prison. There are racial disparities in education, homeownership, life expectancy because of systemic racism. Without understanding and accepting this fact, some of these meetings are getting bogged down or going off the rails. At a police reform meeting in a small village of Potsdam in December, the conversation shifted from the Black experience to what police were going through, how the community can support them better. John Youngblood, who teaches at the local college, pushed back.
You talk about humanizing the police. We're here because of the issue with the police not humanizing African Americans. How did we jump from one to the other so quickly?
Youngblood and the only other Black member of the reform committee resigned after that meeting. At other meetings, language has been explicit. The city of Glens Falls had to shut down its meeting in February after some people over Zoom started using the N-word. New York's attorney general is investigating. It's unclear if the people using the racial slurs were local or not. It's also unclear whether this whole process will lead to a reckoning with systemic racism. Here's Franklin County Sheriff Kevin Mulverhill in a follow-up interview.
I think the governor is reacting to a national issue, and that's fine, and that's his prerogative. I don't think that systemic racism is necessarily inherent in every system.
According to the NAACP, though, Black people are more likely than white people to be pulled over, to be searched, to be shot and killed by police. As a Black man, Henry Smart from John Jay College says he does everything he can to avoid an encounter with the police.
I'm not going to pick up the phone. I'm going to call the cops. No, they may show up, see me, and just shoot. Yeah, I don't take that risk.
Nikki Hilton Patterson from the Adirondack Diversity Initiative said she's also felt targeted by police because she's Black. But she says she's focusing on the long view, hoping that by requiring training, making reforms, and just talking about systemic racism, a difference can be made down the road.
The data shows that it takes 2 years to change behaviors and 5 years to change attitudes. And so that's what we're planning for.
Some departments in upstate New York are making changes. Officers in St. Lawrence County are now wearing body cameras. The city of Plattsburgh is considering doing the same. There's more focus on mental health and social services. And a lot of communities want officers to get implicit bias training. That'll help them better understand and be aware of systemic racism. For Here and Now, I'm Emily Russell.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. Eduardo Medina and Steve Hughes are reporting for the Times Union that Albany Mayor Kathy Sheehan and Police Chief Eric Hawkins on April 22nd ordered the forcible dismantling of a small encampment that demonstrators set up outside the South Station. The order came 8 days after protesters and city police officers clashed at that location. On April 22nd, officers threw a resistant protester to the ground, zip-tying his hands behind his back, while another used a baton to bash camping chairs. Some police were seen with tape placed to obscure their badge numbers. Approximately 2 hours after the confrontation, a protester was put into an ambulance, but the severity or nature of the person's injuries was unclear as of Thursday night. At roughly 3 p.m., Hawkins declared it, and I quote, "is time to end this unlawful occupation," end quote. He and the mayor tweeted out statements, but otherwise neither were seen all day. The forcible clearing was dubbed by police, and I quote, Operation Save South Station, end quote. Eight people were arrested on various charges, including disorderly conduct, obstruction of governmental administration, and rioting. Five received appearance tickets for city court. The others were sent to the Albany County Jail. Hawkins said, and I quote, protesters may continue to peacefully demonstrate, but they must do so in a space that is safe and lawful, end quote. Sheehan backed the chief's decision to clear out the protesters. Before police moved in, protesters were given 15 minutes to pack up their tents and belongings or face arrest. Once protesters were pushed away, a front loader and dump truck cleared out tents and other items to be thrown away. City Department of General Service workers hosed down the area where protesters had been setting fires to keep warm. City workers also used a ladder and a pole to remove a Black Lives Matter flag that was flying from an outside corner of the station. The police then placed more barricades around South Station, continuing to block traffic through the area at Trinity Place and Arch. State Police and Albany County Sheriff's Office were also at the scene. The New York Civil Liberties Union put out a statement around 5 p.m. that said, in part, and I quote, there is no excuse for police violence against protesters anywhere in New York. Protests calling for an end to police brutality against Black New Yorkers should never result in more police brutality, end quote. At 8:30 p.m. Thursday, roughly 60 activists remained behind a barrier with about a dozen state troopers guarding the station. Read the full story in the Times Union. Prison Policy Initiative reports that only 39% of prison staff in New York have been vaccinated for COVID-19. The rate is lower than the national average of 48% among prison staff. The rate is also lower than most local county averages for vaccinations among all adults. Staff in prison working in a congregate facility were eligible earlier for vaccine doses than most of the general public, so the numbers should be higher. The Marshall Project reported in mid-March, and I quote, in Massachusetts, more than half the people employed by the Department of Correction declined to be immunized, end quote. The Prison Policy Initiative, an activist group, uses the data to make a case for vaccinating all inmates as soon as possible. In New York in late March, Justice Allison Y. Tuitt of State Supreme Court in the Bronx ruled that people in prison and jails had been arbitrarily left out of New York's vaccine rollout and that doing so was, and I quote, unfair and unjust and I quote, abuse of discretion, end quote. Read more about this story in the New York Times. Amelia Teasdale is reporting for the Columbia paper. The Ichabod Crane Board of Education voted April 20th to request district voters ratify a $43.9 million budget for the 2021-22 school year. The board also voted to include a bus purchasing proposition in the amount of $430,333 on the ballot. The proposed spending plan is a $1.5 million increase from the last year. Business manager Michael Brennan said the budget will allow the district to maintain current staff and programming, addresses learning losses during the pandemic, and does not include any of the federal stimulus funding. Brennan said there will be an increase in state aid. Five candidates are competing for the three open seats on the school board. Regina Rose, Jared Wijeskok, Ressa Domenio, Jennifer Allard, and Ann Schaefer. Incumbent board members John Antelec, Ruth Moore, and Susan Ramos are not running. The annual school budget vote and board elections will be held May 18th in the high school gymnasium. Editor's note, Wijeskok is a volunteer WGXC on-air programmer. Bill Williams is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The Reverend Richard Turbin of the Second Baptist Church said a mass food distribution took place in Catskill on April 22nd, providing 35-pound boxes of food to more than 500 families in barely 45 minutes. The distribution was scheduled to begin at 11 a.m., but started early because of the line of cars waiting on Main Street. The six pallets of food were empty by 11:30 a.m. Between 15 and 20 volunteers carried the food to waiting cars. Greene County Sheriff Pete Kosminski and several deputies packed a sheriff's department van with boxes that were later delivered to residents of the Hoppenose apartments unable to make it to church. Also Thursday morning, there was a line waiting at the Greene County YMCA in Coxsackie, where 754 boxes of food were given away. Second Baptist and the YMCA planned for the event together, and both distributions were made possible through a partnership between the YMCA and the U.S. Department of Agriculture. No registration was required. Food was provided on a first-come, first-served basis. The community food distribution Thursday was the fourth sponsored by the church. Turpin said, and I quote, "We started a few months ago with 100 boxes, and we've worked our way up to 500, end quote. The next food distribution is scheduled to happen sometime in late May, and you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. And that wraps up the WGXE Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXE.org. From the WGXE Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
That was your local news. We are back, and still here with us is me, DJ Ricky.
DJ Popcorn.
And on the second segment, I created this. It's called Music to Our Ears. It's a segment based on different genres of music. Hip-hop, country, Spanish, like Latin, hip-hop, yeah. Whatever. Yeah, we got a bunch of stuff, so we're going to get right into it. First up, we got Faucet Failure, Ski Master, Slump God.
That's Slump God.
Let's get it.
Let's get it.
Whoa.
Chase the money, chase the money.
Be for real. Let's make a deal. Be for real. Here's your waffle pill. Okay. Let's make a deal. Rubble still skin. She wanna see my purple pickle up in the wind.
Okay.
Sean, cut us off. Get in. And if you don't like me, hit chinny chin chin. I'm hotter than a pepper, no mint. Big stepper, no stilts, big tip. 1K, bought my new kilt, yo. New skirt, ice skirt, big drift, yo. New grills, 10K, big lisp. Diamonds dancing on my fist, no disc. Give me lips, rock band like Kiss. Remember days, me and X hitting lead. One shot of melon, we hit a lick on your. I'm a good fella, mixing my gel up my kick. I am false to failure, my I got drip. Ashing on your is that pookie, my trainer. Who's this? He should be in cockpit. Cause I'm flyer than a I stretch.
Okay.
On my wood, that won't give me polish. I'ma put my foot up in his socket. Who's this? He should be in cockpit. Cause I'm flyer than a I stretch. On my wood, that won't give me polish. I am constructor, that malice. Hey. Yes, gift me a girl from Disney and a Happy Meal. Pretty, please don't jip me. On the fries, on the guys, McDonald's, cause they still selling pies, Just bought a new suit, got my up ties, Said he won't beef, pull up five guys, Yes, I'm fire, a little different like pumpkin fries, Hold up, where's my guys? $1 melon, we hit a lick on your. I'm a good fella, missing my gel up my kick. I am false to failure, my I got drip. Ashing on your this that pookie, my trainer. Who's this? He should be in cockpit. Cause I'm flyer than a ostrich. On my wood, that won't give me polish. I'ma put my foot up in his socket. Who's this? He should be in cockpit. Cause I'm flyer than a ostrich. On my wood, that won't give me polish. I am constructor, that try the malice. Hey.
Alright, that was Faucet Failure. Faucet Failure by Ski Master Slump God, you know. That's ex big homie. He's be chilling, you know. So feel me, how y'all feel about that song?
W song, obviously.
Facts.
It's been out since, like, what, like 2017, too?
Oh, yeah, something like that.
And it still slaps. Still slaps to this
still
day.
Still a slapper. I'll still bop it whenever it come on.
And that's what I'm saying, bro.
So, Lincoln?
Next, we got El Motorcito. It's the Espanol by Lyrico and La Casa. Que cuando yo lo prendía sonaba se me apagó y lo pateo y lo pateo y lo pateo. En la calle ando, ando, ando controlando, ando, en un motorcito calibrando, ando, las mujeres me la estoy robando, ando, dime qué es lo que te está pasando. En la calle ando, ando, ando controlando, ando, en un motorcito calibrando, ando, las mujeres me la estoy robando, ando, y tú mira, cuando lo pongo en una goma, boom, 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 en una goma, boom, 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 cuando lo pongo en una goma, boom, 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 en una goma, boom, 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 cuando lo pongo en una goma, boom, 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 en una goma, boom, boom, boom. Cuando lo pongo en una goma, boom, 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 boom. En una goma, boom, 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 boom. Cuando lo pongo en una goma, vienen los policomas. Y si lo acelero, me le voy por una loma. Ellos me encansaron, pero yo le dije toma. Eran como siete y en las manos, toma, toma. Yo tengo un motor que cuando prende no se tranca. Y si lo acelero en la avenida se levanta. Ando con un par de mujeres que parecen plantas. Ya no me dicen lírico, me dicen la volante. Se me apagó. Y lo pateo, y lo pateo, y lo pateo. En la calle ando, ando, ando controlando, ando, en un motorcito calibrando, ando, las mujeres me la estoy robando, ando, dime qué es lo que te está pasando. En la calle ando, ando, ando controlando, ando, en un motorcito calibrando, ando, las mujeres me la estoy robando, ando, y tú mira. Cuando lo pongo en una goma, boom, 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 boom. En una goma, boom, 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 boom. Cuando lo pongo en una goma, boom, 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 boom. En una goma, boom, 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 boom. Cuando lo pongo en una goma, boom, 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 boom. En una goma, boom, 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 boom. Cuando lo pongo en una goma, boom, 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 boom. En una goma, boom, 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 boom. Estamos sonando en toda la esquina. Tengo un flow que se ve por encima. No trates de fuerza que te doy con la campesina. Yo sé que tú te clavas cuando el loco se aproxima. Que usted no quiera, tiene que escucharme su bocina. Me quité la gorra y me puse un pañuelo blanco. Me encomiendo a Dios porque yo no creo en los santos. Por eso en la tarima cuando fui yo no me tranco. Y si no estoy en la esquina, fui de un pronto al banco. Bam, bam, bam. Se me apagó. Y lo pateo. Y lo pateo. Y lo pateo. Lírico en la casa. Lírico en la casa. Ey. Talala Record. Ey, yo, RJ. Coto Raksher, Adriático, dile que con nosotros no. Simplemente estamos trabajando otro sistema galáctico. Prende ahí. That was El Motorcito by Lyrico and La Casa, you know. A very popular urban rapper coming up for me. There's a nice music video. What y'all thought about it? What y'all thought about it?
For a Spanish song, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah,
because I don't listen to music like that, and I liked it, honestly. It's different. I definitely listen to it.
So next, we got Jimi Hendrix.
Yes,
Jimi
sir.
Hendrix.
Best guitar player of all time.
The Watchtower. And we're about to get into this. This is a good song. So.
We're going to get back. Get it. Ooh.
Yes, sir.
Get it.
Ooh.
Must be some kind of way